Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. If you know that today would be your last day on this earth, how would you go about it? Well, the answer may or may not be as easy as one might think, even for us as Christians. Is our new man or our old man going to answer first? Ponder this as we reflect on the word of our God for this second Sunday of end time, which focuses in on the last judgment. God bless us then in our worship of him as we worship in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I invite your attention to our worship folder as the service is printed out for us there, and it also draws our attention to our first hymn, Hymn 230, which is found in Christian Worship, the Red Hymnal. Please stand as we continue on page 3. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise.
Hasten to save me, O God.
O Lord, come quickly to help me.
Give glory to God, our light and our life.
Come.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our first lesson for this second Sunday of end time, also known as Last Judgment Sunday, comes to us from the book of Daniel, the 7th chapter, pointing out the fact that the book will be opened. And what will that book have to say about you? We hear these words. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. The word of our Lord. Let us continue with the singing together of Psalm 90. Apologize for that error. There obviously was a difference between the proof copy and the printed copy, so thanks for going with that. Our second lesson puts the emphasis on that day of the Lord, and it's not a matter of if it will come, but when. And by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we are ready whenever it comes. Let us give thanks. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The word of our Lord.
Then shall the king say unto
Please rise for the gospel reading. The gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, asking the question, are you a sheep or a goat? And how can people know the difference? Our Lord tells us, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is the gospel of our Lord. Let us join together in confessing our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. At this time, if there are children who would like to come forward for a children's devotion, you're welcome to do so. Come and have a seat right there. I showered today and everything for this. How you doing? Good. Awesome. So, what's this a picture of?
A goat and a lamb.
A goat and a lamb, right? Can you tell the difference between the two? Totally. Nice word. Yeah, right? There is a difference. Even in how they sound, you know, there is a difference. How they look and what they do, right? And the Bible also says there's a difference between sheep and goats. In the reading we just heard, Jesus talks about believers being sheep or goats. Sheep, excellent answer. Awesome, right? Jesus says believers are like sheep. And those who do not believe in Jesus, well, they're like the goats, right? There's a difference between the sheep and the goats, between believers and unbelievers. And Jesus points out what that difference is. Not only do they believe in Jesus, you and I believe in Jesus, and what did Jesus do for us? Excellent. He died on the cross to pay for all of our sins. What a, through eternity, right? So we can live with him for eternity. That's the blessing of being a sheep, a believer in Jesus. And as a believer in Jesus, again, what should separate the sheep from the goats is that we want to show our thanks to Jesus for dying on the cross for us and giving heaven as our eternal home. How can we show our thanks to Jesus? Right here in the blue. Yeah, we love him, right? And what does love for Jesus move us to do? What do you want to do today? Let's say, how can you show thanks for the love of Jesus today? Pray. Beautiful. What else?
Praise him,
like we're doing here right now in church. There's other ways we can praise Jesus. When it comes to when you're at home, what can you do at home to show your love for Jesus? What can we do? He's got the answer. You're going to phone a friend? All right, here we go.
Sing praises to Jesus.
Oh, you could sing praise. How many of you vacuum the floor? Right? You could sing while you're vacuuming the floor, right? Mom and Dad might appreciate that. Grandpa and Grandma, huh? Somebody? They're beautiful. What else can you do to show love for Jesus today? You could wash the dishes. Excellent, right? That's what sheep do. We don't need to be told, right? We just want to serve. And so how can we serve? And in that way, as we help our friends and encourage our friends and our family, we're showing love for Jesus, who has called us to be sheep. So may people see you not as a goat, but rather as a sheep. Let's pray about this. Lord Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and opening heaven to be our eternal home. You have called us to be your sheep, believers in you, who listen to your voice. And so we thank you for being here in church today to hear your voice. Help us show our love for you, our thanks to you, by praising your name, praying to you, and being of help to others, especially as they need help. Open our eyes to be of help to others as a way to show our love for you. Help us be loyal sheep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for coming up, and we'll continue with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the second lesson for today, where we hear once again these words from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow sheep, through faith in Christ Jesus, 40 plus, 26 plus, 2 plus, 151,600 plus. Can you guess what these numbers represent? A couple of hints. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this one, the wages of sin is death. More numbers could be cited to make the following point. These numbers represent people, in most, if not all cases, from our human point of view, have left us too soon. People who died by a recent close-by fires, by gunfire in a church setting, among our own church family this year, and the last number cited represents, according to one website, the number of people who die daily, either by natural causes, though in a way death is not natural, or by whatever other cause. Death is all around us, and it could be calling for any one of us today or tomorrow, or only the Lord knows when. Since this is the case, how are we to go about living today? Our Lord has an answer for us, and it is, in a nutshell, live like each day is your last. Now, this is not meant to be a morbid thought, rather just the opposite. And Scripture makes it clear as well that there is going to be a day to end all days. Since this is the case, we are encouraged to live in light of this day coming. No surprises. The Apostle Paul makes it clear, as directed by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, now, brothers and sisters, Paul uses these terms to emphasize their oneness in Christ. Brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, like a trap shuts on a mouse, as labor pains on a pregnant woman. Once started, no going back, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, that is, clueless, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. Bottom line, death and or judgment could come at any time. So let us not be caught living the eat, drink, and be merry lifestyle, a sign of unbelief, which will not go well for us upon death or on that day of judgment. Think of the warning signs the Lord puts in our daily life so we will not be caught off guard. And as we do that, keep in mind that the Lord is not always the cause behind the tragedy, though he is aware of what is going to happen when, and allows things to happen which we simply cannot understand or explain. Yet he has made it clear, as a result of sin existing in our world, death will come to the people of this world, and sometimes in ways that we cannot even imagine. Now, one of the reasons we cannot fathom and have difficulty swallowing some of the horrific tragedies that have taken place, such as the shooting in Texas in the church setting, as well as the shooting in Vegas at that concert, is that we assume all people are basically good. You and I know from the Bible and from our own interactions with people as well as reflections of ourselves that this is not the case. We are capable of some awful things, such as the hatred we can have toward people who do not look or act like us. The pranks we pull on students because they are not a part of the cool group. The attempts to better ourselves at the office at the expense of a coworker. The thoughts of lust and coveting we hold on to, and only by the grace of God we do not act on each one or none. So let us not think any one of us is above sin. And as the Apostle Paul points out in the book of Romans, let us not think more of ourselves than we ought. Thus, the signs to remind us of our own condition and what is up with this world we live in. Earthquakes, fires, accidents, shootings, theft, and the list could go on and on. Such do not mean that the end is upon us, but it is drawing closer. Jesus tells us through the Gospel of Matthew, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nation. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. You will be hated by all nations because of me, Jesus. Many will turn away from the faith. False prophets will appear because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. And there are other places in Scripture which make this same point. Brothers and sisters, by the grace of God through faith in Jesus, live like each day is your last. You and I can live this way because we have been given the ability to do so in a way that is pleasing to God and will be of benefit to our other fellow human beings while in this world. The world needs you. Though the world may not admit to this truth. What benefits do we gain from those who sleep their way through this life? What benefits do we gain from those who live their life in a drunken stupor? Those who will be caught off guard when death or the day of judgment comes are like those who are asleep, unaware of what is happening, but they should not have been. And as alcohol dulls the senses, so people have become dull to the warning cry from the Lord through his people. To this, Jesus says, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Self-control is a word which is repeated numerous times throughout the Bible. So the Lord must be telling us something important with that word. With all the distractions before us in this world, some of which we bring into our own life and others the world flaunts before us, we need to practice self-control. A person who receives $100 of income and then immediately goes and spends it on wants instead of needs and neglecting those needs is a person who needs to practice self-control. Athletes, too, need to practice self-control, as opposing players are going to say and do things as a way to get under your skin to distract you. How many times have we seen a football player, if you watch football games, shove another player, costing the team a huge penalty and possibly even losing the game because of that penalty? There's a time and a place to address what was said about your mother. What used to be settled by fist is now done by guns. And the loss of life cannot be undone. Our society is growing in wickedness and self-centeredness. But this too, dear friends, should not come as a surprise, as we have raised generations to be self-absorbed, self-centered, and accountable to no one. And anything goes society is a dangerous one. Brothers and sisters, live like each day is your last, because it could be, due to a variety of reasons. We can say this because we have been given what is necessary to live not in fear, but rather with hope and with confidence. Jesus is at the heart of our hope and our confidence in life and in death. Our text reminds us of this truth when it says, God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. In this instance, if the Lord were to come while we are physically sleeping, we will still be with the Lord forever in heaven. Entry into heaven is not dependent on what we have to do. Rather, it is dependent on what Jesus Christ already has done for us. He died in our place so that we might be forgiven and thus live. All the times we have fallen astray from the distractions of this world and neglected opportunities to grow in faith, all the times that we have hurt someone, and all the times that we have done something. The list of sins could go on and on. What did Jesus do with all those sins? Paid in full. Forgiven. Amazing, isn't it? Hard to fathom. And so some people, many people unfortunately, do not believe in the simple truth because they allow their ability to rationalize to get in the way. Faith in Jesus is a gift which keeps on giving. It is a confidence that God will do what he says he will do. Faith then leads to actions of love. Faith in action, living each day as an expression of thanks. Hope then sustains our faith in life. Hope encourages us to grow in faith and in living and in love. So, confidently, live like each day is your last. As stated, the world needs you, what you have been given. Closer to home, our fellow Christians need what you have been given. Who of us does not need a word of encouragement once in a while? News of the mass shootings, well, it can cause us to question God, to wonder if he is really in control. Satan would like nothing better for us than to doubt God, to even get angry at God as he does not operate in the way we think he should operate. Well, such a thought process misses the point. Disasters and tragedies, while we do not want them to happen, are used to keep us attentive to what matters most in this life. And that is getting to the next life with Jesus. As mentioned a few weeks back, the Lord God does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. And so he has given us what is needed not to avoid death, but rather to remain alive in peace and joy even after we die. Read through John 11. Not an easy concept to wrap our minds around, but it does not have to. The beauty of the gift of faith. And so the world needs you, even as the world is out to destroy you. The world says it is tolerant, but it ends up speaking out of both sides of its mouth as it openly displays hatred toward Christianity. Maybe because deep down they know you are right, and yet in their sinful stubbornness, they do not want to admit that truth. The world needs you. And at the same time, the world does not need you and me to be in their face. It does need us to live Christ-like lives. Paul speaks to this point in the chapter preceding our text when he says, "Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." The goal of such living is to be ready to give the answer for the motivation that we reflect in our life. If we are putting one on day after day, or getting it on with someone who is not our spouse, how then are we reflecting love for Christ and respect for Christ, as well as a love and respect for ourselves? The world does not need us to act like them. It needs more of Christ. As we gather here, we are being equipped more and more to live in this way. We are here today, alert to what could happen as we gather together in public spaces. And yet we are here today to glorify our all-knowing and all-powerful God, not letting disasters and tragedies get the best of us. We are here to grow in His Word. We are here to better go with that Word, to be His witnesses. And it cannot be said enough. The world needs you. Because another thing we know about this world we live in is that it is going to come to an end at some point. The time is coming when God will have said, "Enough! It is time to separate the sheep from the goats and to publicly acknowledge the sheep for all that they have done, the good that they have done, especially the good that they have done without looking for a pat on the back." Brothers and sisters, we just go and do it. The good that God wants us to do. If we are not thinking this way, well, there is only one cure for that, and that is being right here in the Word of our Lord. The Word which keeps the focus on Christ and what He has done for our salvation. And in this way, the love of Christ compels us to love one another by way of speech and actions. This is living like each day is our last. Not a morbid thought, not an excuse to party hardy, but rather the freedom to live with hope and confidence and contentment and peace in the inside. As we deal with all the turmoil, no surprise turmoil, on the outside of our lives. Yes, encourage one another with these words of our Lord. We need it. Live in this way and share what you have been given. And in this way, not only we but others will be ready to answer the Lord God when He asks, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" The answer? Jesus is my Savior who has opened heaven to me. Yes, people of God, live like each day is your last, in peace and with joy. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We
We pray. Savior, thy dying love thou gavest me, nor should I aught withhold, dear Lord, from thee. In love my soul would bow, my heart fulfill its vow. Some offering bring thee now, something for thee. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church as found for us on page 11. We pray. Out of the depths we cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear our voices.
Let your ears be attentive to our cries for mercy.
Heavenly Father, we confess with sorrow that we have sinned and deserve only your anger and punishment.
If you have heard our sins, you should have heard us.
We confess with joy that your unfailing love has redeemed us.
Our hope is in you, and in you are full redemption.
Around us we see the birth pangs of the last days, war, famine, earthquakes, false prophets, spiritual apathy.
Use these signs to remind us that we do not know the day or hour when Christ will come again.
Keep us faithful to your word. Send your Spirit to strengthen our faith so that we are always prepared for your Son's return as judge.
Make us faithful to share your word and cause many more to put their hope in you before the day comes.
Build our fellowship of love as brothers and sisters in faith.
Help us support one another when trials and troubles come our way.
Great physician of body and soul, we commend all among us who at this time are not doing well physically. Continue to provide them with the care they need, along with the ability to persevere through what is impacting their life. Above all, keep them focused on your faithfulness and provide them comfort, knowing that these earthly hardships do not separate them from your love and promise of heaven. Freedom is a privilege, O Lord. First of all, from you by grace through faith in Jesus. Without your freedom, we would still be living in our sins and without the hope amidst sin's consequences. The freedoms you have granted our country also are a privilege. We thank you along with the men and women who have served and are serving our country in order to secure and maintain the freedoms we are able to enjoy. May we not take for granted what these men and women have done and are doing on our behalf. Keep them in your care. And may we not take for granted the freedom you have given to us in Jesus. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, physical and spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And marriage is a gift from you, Lord, and ought to be lived by us as a reflection of your grace toward us. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Heavenly Father, we eagerly wait for Jesus to come again and make all things new. May he find us, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, faithfully enduring to the end through the power of your Holy Spirit. We continue with the next hymn, and please note the verses we will sing of this hymn. In the morning, O Lord, I call to you. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us praise the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Good morning again. Great to see you in the house of the Lord, members and guests alike. Just want to say thank you to our musicians today, to Marty and Vince and the Petersons for helping edify our worship service beautifully. So thank you for using your God-given talents to serve us. And thank you to our veterans, your service. Can't put a price tag on that, so thank you. And we pray for those who are currently serving as well, as they are also, by the grace of God, defending our earthly freedoms by God's doing. You are a blessing. Bible studies, Omaha, Omaha. Anybody know that name? Little Peyton Manning there, right? We're going to do an audible on the Luther study. We're going to move the Luther study from the gym to Luther room. So for those who are attending the Luther study, we'll be studying that in the Luther room. The other studies will take place where they normally do, the mom's study in the classroom and the Roman study here in the church proper. The current series that we're going through in Bible study will wrap up at the end of November. We will then have a two-week session, a special session, in the first two Sundays of December, and then we're going to have three Sundays off because of the LES Christmas service, and then Christmas Eve, and then New Year's Eve on those following Sundays. And then we'll start up fresh again with several more Bible study opportunities in the new year, Lord willing. Further reflections, which can be used for personal and group study, they can be found in the worship folder, as well as they're found on our Facebook page. Thanksgiving service, this is also noted in your weekly news for the week, will be held here Wednesday evening, the 22nd, at 7 o'clock, Thanksgiving service. And then we're going to be having that same service on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, at Hope in Penryn at 10 o'clock. So if you can't make the evening one, you can join the Penryn Thanksgiving Day 10 o'clock service. Ushers, please take note of the meeting that is scheduled for December 3rd. Lunch will be provided. There's an RSVP that's required. Again, you can find more on that in the weekly news. Continue to keep Mr. Bauer in your prayers as he has been given a call to serve at Michigan Lutheran Seminary, and also then consider his call to here to St. Mark's. So we ask for your prayers and where the Lord is leading him to serve. Well, we pray it's here, but that's our selfishness, what is best for the kingdom and for the Bowers. He would appreciate any constructive comments that you have for him, so please seek him out in some way to offer your comments on regarding this call. And then again, for more details and information that is timely, please see the weekly news. You can get that by email. There's also copies in the entryway. And then so we stay connected to the work we support together as brothers and sisters throughout the Wells. We're going to watch this month's edition of the Wells Connection. And as we're waiting for that, just a reminder to please greet one another before you leave God's house today. We're all one in Christ. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. One of the advantages of walking together is that, as a synod, we can keep an eye on overall trends and then find ways to respond. This 30,000-foot view is critical as we respond to the opportunities and the challenges that congregations face in the 21st century. With that in mind, the Wells Commission on Congregational Counseling has been conducting a major new study on church membership that has important ramifications. Pastor Jonathan Hine takes us through the highlights.
You or someone you know has said it. Years ago, our church had a ton of kids. Now it's mostly gray hair. There is no question that many Wells congregations are growing older. Many have experienced an extended period of numerical decline. So for more than 2 years, our synod has been studying this issue. Over the last half century, it's obvious how gracious God has been to us, allowing our synod to retain our faithfulness to the truth of Scripture. Plus, Wells has started some 500 new congregations that currently care for more than 100,000 souls. In that same half century, Wells' gospel efforts have increased around the globe exponentially. Counting those in fellowship with Wells around the world, our overall numbers are higher than ever. But here in the United States, the last 25 years give us pause. After peaking in 1990 at more than 420,000 souls, Wells' baptized membership has decreased by 14% since. Communicant membership is down 9%. What is contributing to the statistical decline? Several factors. First, families today are having fewer children. Second, the number of Wells members dying and going to heaven is increasing as the overall population ages. And one of the biggest factors is members who drift away from the Wells, what we often call backdoor losses. Since 1986, we have averaged about 8,000 backdoor losses each year, almost a quarter of a million people in total. A large proportion of these losses are younger members. Lastly, the demographic trend away from rural areas and toward urban living has also had an impact. There are more than 100 churches, mostly in rural areas, that face the 50-60 challenge. which means fewer than 50 people worship each week, and the average age is above 60. When you hear numbers like this, it can be easy to grow discouraged. Don't. Christ is still risen. He still sits on his throne, ruling over everything for the benefit of his church. Through word and sacrament, he still abides with us. It's important to understand that these issues are not unique to Wells. Religious participation nationwide has been declining for 30 years, especially among millennials, who are now the largest generation in America. While Wells is down 9% from our high, the Missouri Synod is down more than 15%. The biggest Presbyterian denomination is down almost 50%, as is the Episcopal Church. So when you look at all this statistical data, there are two mistakes we could make. The first is to panic, to despair. Remember, God is in control, and he doesn't ask for our statistical report. Instead, he asks us to faithfully and zealously proclaim his gospel and leave the results of that effort to him. The second mistake is the flip side of that, to say, well, because God is in charge, I don't have a role to play. There's nothing that I can do. That is not a biblically justifiable position. St. Paul says we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We play a vital role in God's saving work. So what can we do to meet these challenges? Last fall, the members of Congregational Services spent a good deal of time looking at the demographic report. That began a process, steps each commission in Wells is taking to help Wells congregations meet some of the challenges. Our commissions on evangelism, schools, worship, discipleship, special ministries, and counseling are all developing nuts and bolts opportunities for churches to consider and address the situation. There isn't time here to discuss each of the dozens of approaches being developed, but let me explain just one to let you better understand the direction. For decades now, Wells churches have been opening early childhood centers at a rapid pace. These centers have done a beautiful job of telling little ones about Jesus, and that alone makes them worthwhile. But most child cares have not been a pathway to membership for parents. So by carefully studying early childhood centers that have been blessed as a stepping stone to membership, we've learned a great deal. And we're developing new strategies that any child care can now put into practice to bring more families into membership. It's an excellent example of how walking together can benefit us all. Again, that's just one of a wide range of ideas you'll be hearing about as we go forward. We're working to confront the toughest challenges head on. From the youngest millennials to the aging world churches, Wells is developing new ways to use the great blessing of the gospel to reach more souls.
Responding to these challenges and opportunities will be a central focus of our synod going forward. You'll hear more about specific ideas and overall progress. In all of this, we know that our plans and efforts are not what's most important. We have the unchanging gospel that remains at the heart of all we do. As always, we place our trust in the Holy Spirit, working through the means of grace to change hearts and to build God's church one soul at a time. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.